Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now from Sportsnet, Sam Cosentino, who is down in Dallas. Sam, good morning. It's Jeremy, and Brayton's here as well. How are you?
Yeah, doing great, guys. Really looking forward to what's about to unfold. Might even see a little activity today, so should be a fun couple days.
You think we'll see activity today? And if so, I mean, like, how close are we to a Ryan O'Reilly thing? Do you think it's an inevitability? Around here, I think the way the buzz has started to build, Sabres fans are more expecting it than wondering if it's going to happen.
Yeah, I would. You'd have to say that's the case. I mean, you know, for a new regime to come in here, the number one goal here is to kind of turn the page on losing. And I don't know if you can go into the season with some of the comments that were made and Ryan O'Reilly having said those things with that kind of losing mentality still hovering. So I do think it's an inevitability. And oftentimes when you get all the general managers in one place, that's when deals seem to come together a little quicker, because one discussion might lead to another, might lead to another team's needs being filled. And then you add in the agents here that are not only representing their players for the draft, but also trying to, you know, put some feelers out for what's about to be in free agency and so forth. So we can see that agents can also have an impact on trades. For me, I think O'Reilly is an inevitability. And you know what? He's still a marketable guy, especially in today's game. You know, with some of the things that he's able to bring to the table, he's not probably going to produce like he did in the past, but I think sitting there in a third line and on a really good team is probably a good place for O'Reilly.
Sam Cosentino joining us here. On O'Reilly and the comments he made at the end of the year, I would guess that if you're another general manager, you'd know about those comments, you'd hear about them, and you might even be willing to say, yeah, but come on, he's playing in Buffalo. They lose all the time. I would feel that way, too, if the team had struggled to turn it around for so long. So, you know, the comments here, how did they go over? I want to say there was a little bit of an uproar, but not as big as many might think. When it comes to other GMs, do you think that they would be scared off by that, or it's just the kind of thing that they could easily write off as he lost a lot?
Well, I think the track record speaks volumes here. When you look at playing for Canada internationally, when you look at what he's done throughout the rest of his career here, yeah, a couple of, you know, a bonehead mistake here or there. And I do believe that. I do believe that there is some people that are saying, well, he's not necessarily wrong, and he was speaking his mind. You just don't want to have that stuff come out publicly. So I think he gets a bit of a hall pass there from other GMs, and I don't think that would be a red flag enough to strike down any deal.
On to Rasmus Dahlin and what the Sabres are getting at the top of the draft. How high are you on Dahlin? How much of a slam dunk is he as the number one pick? And is it a function of the position that he plays and the way the league is going, or just the all-out talent you see, or obviously a combination?
I think it's a bit of everything, and I do think he's a slam dunk. I think he's going to come in and be able to play 18 to 20 minutes right away. All of the things that you've heard in Buffalo, and there's been a lot of talk, and rightfully so, that the fan base should be really, really excited about this young man. You know, a little bit of Hedman, a little bit of Carlson, a little bit of Lidstrom, all kind of packaged into one piece. A guy now who fits what the NHL is doing in terms of that puck-rushing, puck-moving defenseman who is essentially the fourth forward. Well, he does that, but we're used to seeing over the last three or four years smaller players in that role. Well, this guy does it with size. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be able to spend some time with him at the Combine in Buffalo, and what an unbelievable young man. Just poised, respectful, well thought out. When you take that skill set and then you add, you know, grade A character to it, I think you have a star in the making, and I truly feel that about Rasmus.
In your conversations with Dahlin, you seem to come away pretty impressed. You think that hype won't really be too much of a thing for him? He's coming in with high expectations. I wonder if Buffalo is a nice place to land as a guy with those kind of expectations. Maybe easier, softer landing than Toronto, Montreal, then again, we do care an awful lot, and people will be paying attention. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying we're not an intense market sometimes, but there might not be the overwhelming kind of attention paid to him the way that you would with Toronto.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that come into play here. I think, you know, obviously they're looking at a culture change and looking at getting into a winning mode, but I don't think the pressure to win is going to be there immediately. I think now if Jason Botterill there, that he's going to have an idea that they have a clearly defined plan as to what they want to do, and being able to get this player and by winning the lottery, I mean, that's a pretty awesome way to start things out if you're a new regime. I think the other part of it is when you look at a guy like Phil Housley, who came into the league with very similar height, you can see the guy that I think will have the awareness to protect him in certain situations, give him good matchups on home ice, let him run once in a while, and let him, let the stable out of the pony once in a while, yet also teach him the way that he knows best, which really fits in with what today's game has to offer. So in terms of it being a perfect place and building a franchise around this particular player, when you're already talking about Eichel and Mittelstadt, now you kind of add that piece to the back end, and you look at your core group up the middle, you got to be really excited if you're a Buffalo fan.
One thing about pressure, I think if you are Phil Housley, if Rasmus Dahlin doesn't come in and produce right away, it's my belief that people will blame everybody but Dahlin. It'll be a little bit of, how come the Sabres can't get this kid to play well? How come Phil Housley doesn't have him in the right situation? So if anybody has some pressure here, it might be the Sabres to make sure that, player development, that he looks the part and that he's ready to roll.
Yeah, and I think the thing is when you're judging a young defenseman, I think point totals is a bit of a fallacy there. I think you have to look at his game, look at how many minutes he's playing. For me, that's the key area. So if he's getting into that 16 to 20 minute range and he's eating up top 4 minutes, maybe even top 5 minutes, you have to be pretty happy if you're doing that as a defenseman in this league at that age. So that to me is more of a telling, I guess, stat than what would be the point totals. And I do think, given some opportunities and how much he's using the power play, he's still going to produce. But I wouldn't expect him to come in here and be a 40, 50 point guy right off the hop. I would expect him more in the first year to kind of take things in, play his minutes, but not too many, and still produce to a decent pace. I think where you're really going to see the returns on this young man is probably 2 and 3 years from now, when his game rounds out, when he becomes more physically mature, when he learns the league, when he learns what it's like to manage schedule and all those sorts of things. That's when I truly think you'll see the best returns on this player in 2 to 3 years' time.
Sam Cosentino of Sportsnet. All right, let's get to the rest of the draft. I mean, we've talked a lot about Dahlin here in Buffalo, but for the rest of the draft and some of the other storylines, number two is Andrei Svechnikov. Can we write that in the same ink that we can write Dahlin at number one?
Yeah, no question about it. No question. He's a pretty awesome young guy. He's got a bit of pedigree. He's been in North America here for a couple of years. He's a really grounded young man who's dedicated to his family. And part of the reason why he played in Muskegon 2 years ago was to be able to be close to his brother Evgeny, who was the 19th overall pick by Detroit a couple of years back. So there is that to consider, and I just think that this guy is the most NHL-ready player in this draft, period, end of story. Fits in really well with what Carolina's doing in their young core.
At three is when it gets interesting. Who goes three to Montreal?
Oh, yeah. My goodness. There are so many different permutations that I think can take place here, and the one thing I would say, I'd look at Mark Bergevin and say, your clock's starting to tick here a little bit. So that would suggest to me that they would need a player that would come in right away. A couple of guys fit that bill. I think Brady Tkachuk can come in and play for you right away because he doesn't necessarily have to play top 6 minutes. I think Filip Zadina's goal scoring will translate to the next level. And then I look at a couple of other prospects who would be Noah Dobson, who's a guy who's probably 2 years away from playing for your club. But does that suit what Montreal needs? Yes, they need defense. Yes, they need center. And, of course, that's the other position that we've talked about with Jesperi Kotkaniemi being that guy who's a left-shot center, who's got decent size, he's a coach's son, he's been around the game, but he, too, is not likely ready to play until 2 years from now. So I guess it would be weighing out the immediate needs for Mark Bergevin to have a guy come in play right away, or still take the best player available who might project to play for you 2 years down the road. If it were me personally picking, Noah Dobson would probably be my guy because I see him as a top pairing defenseman here down the road. But again, centers are really difficult to find. You give up too much to have to trade for him. You give up too much either term or annual average salary if you have to get him on the free agent market. So the best way to get that position is to draft and develop it. And so that's what puts Kotkaniemi in play. Quite honestly, I think the talk will heat up to move that pick. And ultimately, what I think the goal would be would be for Montreal to say, move their third overall, move one or two of their second round picks, and get into an area where you're at 11 and 12, where New York is, where Philadelphia is at 14 and 19. And at that point, they'd be able to address two needs. They'd be able to get the center position filled with still a best player mentality in the background, and also still be able to get a really good defenseman, although that defenseman would come from the second tier. So that would be probably the most desirable thing for Montreal to do there at three.
Well, tying those two together, I mean, there have been some suggestions that the Sabres are targeting that number three pick from Montreal. I don't think they would trade that for Ryan O'Reilly, but can you piece together a framework where maybe a three-team trade where Montreal does move the third pick, where they would get O'Reilly and there'd be other pieces involved? If I think about Mark Bergevin, and you're talking about how he needs to get a center, that's the only way I can start to get to how this could happen. One, he tends to get fleeced in trades, my opinion. Two, he might need results sooner than later, and maybe the third pick, maybe the 11th and the 14th pick, maybe he doesn't think those will help him soon enough.
Yeah, and that's a point very well taken. So again, you're weighing a couple of things here. Your immediate needs, the best player available, and of course, thinking about your drafting and developing. But is there a third team that come in the mix here? I don't know. That you'd have to consider teams that have picks. I think that's always going to play a part of it, because when I look at a three-team deal, you know, even the one that was constructed last year with Kyle Turris and Colorado and Nashville, I think when you're looking at those types of deals, three teams being involved there, there's always some sort of element of draft picks being involved. So if you do add that third team, it would likely have to be a team that does have some picks. Now, Montreal has a bunch. Detroit has a bunch. The Islanders, the Rangers in particular.
Philly has 14 and 19.
Yeah. So the Rangers might be a dance partner in there. When you have three first-rounders and five in the first, I think, 50, you know, they could be a dance partner in there that have an abundance of picks that they'd be willing to move up and maybe even into that spot. And we've seen it before when they jumped up and took Elias Anderson with the seventh pick in that trade with Arizona. So I do think that definitely is a possibility, and O'Reilly would probably play a big part in that.
Sam Cosentino of Sportsnet. How about Carlson? Are we going to see him moved this weekend? Ottawa is in rebuild, retool, revamp, and Carlson seems to be on his way out. Does it happen in the next couple days?
And that is just that is an unbelievable question. And so, you know, you're thinking about Ottawa and all the bad PR that's come out about, you know, the Senators over the last couple of weeks here. And you think, can you trade Carlson? Can you do something hastily in the short amount of time that the draft has? Again, you have all the people here, all the agents, all the players are here in one place. So that does maybe mean for something to happen there. But when it comes to Carlson, you have to wonder if Ottawa is not better served to go back, wait till whenever that point is, offer him a deal. Let's say Carlson turns down that deal. You know, does it decrease the value? There's so many moving parts to this thing here. You know, is there no trade issues involved? Does he really want to be back in Ottawa? I don't know if you can make a deal of that magnitude in such a short time frame. But then again, Pierre Dorion may have already been working on something like this. You know, the Hoffman thing came together pretty quickly, so this is a little bit different than Hoffman, though.
Sam Cosentino, one final question. How about Tavares? What happens there, and do we get a little bit more juice added to this week?
Yeah, well, you know, Lou Lamoriello being there and being, you know, picking 11 and 12, and seemingly having a way of really calming in, you know, flammable situations down, I think Tavares stays. I think he's in a comfortable spot. I think he sees the vision with the new arena being built. I think he wants to be a part of the solution for the team that, you know, that drafted him originally. And I think if you're the Islanders, you want one of the, whatever, 5-10 best players in the world still with you when you move into a new building with an opportunity to win. I think the resounding answer to that question would be yes. So I feel more and more like he's going to end up staying put.
All right, Sam Cosentino. Enjoy the draft, Sam. Thanks for the time this morning.
Okay, thanks so much. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.